The give to TJ.
He is hit at the line of scrimmage. He broke free. Inside the 20-yard line. Inside the 10-yard line. TJ Yeldon reaching for the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. TJ Yeldon, second and third effort for the score. Play clock is at 5 now for Manuel. Dropping. The Jags blitz. And they hit him as he lets it go. The ball is out. That ball is out. It is picked up. Or now Chris Clemons picks it up. Chris Clemons into the end zone. That's a touchdown for Jacksonville. Scoop and score by Clem. And the Jags are in the end zone again.
Manuel, 4 of 10 so far on the day for 50 yards. He and the Bills will start from their own 20-yard line. 14-3 Jacksonville. 12-21 to play in the half. TJ looks. Fires it to the right side. That's picked off. Tillman Smith has picked it off. Tillman running it back. That's a touchdown for the Jaguars on back-to-back defensive play. Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now. Stays behind the line. Fires toward the end zone. Once Allen Hurns diving attempt. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Hurns a diving touchdown catch.
Awesome, awesome environment. And to our fans back in Jacksonville, too. I mean, I know they were watching and listening, so we appreciate them. And this was an unbelievable environment. To see it at the end, I don't know if I caught all of it, but I could hear them. Just a great environment.
Now, live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey, and...
Unbelievable for the second time. And this is now you're open on the program. Duval Doom, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. If you want to see a couple of overweight white boys bobbing their heads, you should have been in the studio in the last 60 seconds. Tyler had us going pretty good there.
We had a dance-off going.
A little montage. A little chair dancing going on. Exactly. That's what I'm good for at this stage of my...
It's Friday.
My mobility...
Got to get down on Friday.
You do have to get down on Friday. Look, it is Friday. It's a good weekend. Thank goodness that nothing important exists in the Jaguars broadcast studios. Let me just tell you.
Right.
It's time to call Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing because, seriously... There's an issue. I don't think you want it long-term to be the plan that, say, when Fred Taylor's sitting in there on game day and we happen to get a little sprinkle, that Fred's going to be covered in rainwater.
So it's like a third pool is what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. But we opted not to get in today.
Exactly.
You know what's right? You know what backs up right against you? You can picture it in your head. The Jaguar studio, when you walk in the door, it's kind of catty corner in the back. Opposite corner from where you're walking in the door. Behind my back is the Jaguars draft room. That's like the war room.
I did not know
there.
That.
Right. That's the room that shares the leak with us right now.
Oh.
So if they get up there and they're like, where'd the card go on draft night? You know why.
The whole wall is like melted on the ground.
they may not have had as much prep time as they would have liked. But yes, still, let's just say this. The work continues apace on rebuilding the club section down there at Everbank. And with that, we're having some trying times keeping the studio dry. But if it doesn't rain, we'll be fine. If we get like a year with no rain, we'll be absolutely fine. And we won't have to have this anymore.
Everything will catch fire in
Florida. Right, right. But other than that, we won't be wet. So
there'll
be that. We'll be fine in that regard. But everything will be okay. Fred Taylor will not get rained on, people. It will not happen. I will take the hit for him. I'll jump up there. I will be Fred's human umbrella if I need to.
Whatever needs to take place, because Fred being on the post game is fantastic.
We've got an interesting weekend. We're inside 5 weeks from the NFL draft.
Woo-hoo!
So we'll certainly talk about that a little bit today. We'll get your thoughts. When's the last time you were in? It wasn't that long
ago.
No,
it was not long.
Pre-combine?
It was before the combine.
So obviously before free agency and all that.
Yes.
Talk about reshaping the roster. Batman v Superman is out this weekend.
Let's go, Kal-El.
I know. You're all representing the planet Krypton over here today, which kind of bucks the trend. Batman is the, at least from my perspective, I don't know what the numbers say, the more massively popular one on the DC side of things.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Our boy Bolt City Batman has been representing the Dark Knight.
That guy.
Very ably, by the way. He is threatened to maybe come by the studio today. He offered to bring his lunch, but you said, no, I got to run out and catch a movie is what I've got to do. Is that your plan?
That's not what I said.
What did you say?
Get the hell out of here? I have to watch Superman beat your bleep.
Oh, okay. I was trying to put it in more politically correct terms. yeah, this is, well, as we all know, in a real fight, this is not a fight, right?
Clark would squish him into the cement.
Of course. It would be over. He might not even have to take the glasses off. You know,
he could do it from space.
Right. He like would he do it from space with a heat vision. And exactly. then, and why would you ever get within range of any of Batman's marvelous toys?
Exactly.
So so we know suspension of disbelief when these fictional characters meet on the screen. Okay?
But Mike, it's not realistic if Batman beats.
It doesn't, because Batman has plans to beat all the superheroes right. that he needs to in case they turn on
in
him.
In issue 274.
Hey, you know what? I'm making fun of myself because I'm a comic nerd.
Heck yeah, man.
But I'm a Marvel comic nerd. So
I know.
This is just the appetizer is what this is. They were both going to come out on May, whatever the date was. May 12th?
Yeah, I think originally DC had put that down.
Right, and Marvel's like, all right, we'll go for that date. You want to go head-to-head? Let's square off, baby.
Well, you know
Let's
what else Marvel did, right? Batman vs. Superman was supposed to open last week. And Marvel announced, oh, well, Daredevil's going to come out on Netflix that weekend.
Right.
And so Batman went, okay, we're going to move another
right,
week.
Right, we're afraid of Netflix now. And which, by the way, is a pretty good season. I don't know, have you watched the whole thing?
I have, and I thought it was better than the first one, yeah.
Really? I thought the first one was exceptional. I think it's good. I'm about 9 episodes in to season number 2.
I'm a big Frank Castle fan.
All right. Well, I've never been into the Punisher whole aspect of things, as far as you know. But today we'll have a little bit of fun. Hopefully on this Friday, I guarantee we're going to get the tweets. Hey, what's going? Stick to football. No, we won't. Okay, today
you can't control us.
You can't stop us. What we will do today is we will ask you in the Jaguars universe. You don't have to go deeper than the title characters if you don't want to, but you can if you want to play along. And go into the rich history of the Super Friends. We'll welcome that as well. You and I were reminiscing, looking back at some of the cartoon predecessors of Batman v Superman for Saturday mornings.
Our youthful Saturday morning cartoons.
Gosh, Marvin and Wendy.
Marvin and Wendy.
I'd pretty much forgotten about Marvin and Wendy.
They were awful characters.
When they were always like the little sidekick people that they would have on the Super Friends. So I guess, I don't know, some 8-year-old kid could relate and say, meanwhile, back at the halls of justice,
right,
it will be me.
Because Robin wasn't relatable enough to the little kids.
No, he was only relatable enough. I'm not sure what weird subset would be relatable to Robin, but I don't know what to tell you. My son does like Nightwing, though, the later incarnation.
I'm not going to lie. The Tim Drake version of Robin is a particular favorite of mine.
Yeah, well, and according to my son, that's the best version. Okay, man. Okay, 11-year-old who's got way too much time on your hands.
He
access to the internet.
He figured out who Nightwing and Batman were. That's how he became Robin. Like, on his own, he used his own detective skills to figure out who they were.
Pretty smart kid.
And he showed up at Wayne Manor and was like, hey, I'm going to be Robin now.
Knock, knock, knock. What are you going to do about it? Today, we ask you, in the Jaguars universe, we did this with the Avengers, and we got a lot of great responses. We also got a lot of, stick to football. So whatever. However you want to do it today, you can. But how would you cast the lead roles in Batman v Superman? And we'll leave it at that. We don't want to lead you down whatever path you're headed. But you can expand that out if you want to cast, you know, Wonder Woman, you want to cast Jimmy Olsen, you want to cast Perry White. You can do all that good stuff, you know, go as deep as you want. But who is the Batman v Superman in the Jaguar universe? I mean, maybe both of them are on the Jaguars. Maybe one of them represents the Jags. Somebody represents the dark side out there, whoever you think is representative of that side. So share your thoughts with us today on Twitter. At MD_1010XL. What are you, at Duval_Doom?
Uh-huh.
See, it's right off the top of my head. I don't even have Twitter up in front of me right now. At 1010XL Tyler. And comment, please, on his pants, which I tweeted out a picture of earlier today. The entire outfit is out there resplendent in red and white for you to enjoy in the Twitter series. You can also get on board with the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010, if you want to talk Jag football all season. Less than 5 weeks to the start of the draft. 5 weeks from today, as a matter of fact, we'll be discussing who they got with the 5th pick, likely, barring any trades or anything like that, and setting up for day 2 of the draft, which is the 2nd and 3rd rounds on that Friday evening. So we can get into that today if you'd like as well, and that's the number for the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford as well, 641-1010. Duval Doom is in the house. Batman v Superman is in the theaters, and we're here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Duval Doom, and Tyler Devitt on 1010XL. Who do I think it is?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if there is such a thing, But if I were going to guess and bet on one player being the surest thing, I would say that Laremy Tunsil is that thing.
Okay, I will go one step further than that. Okay, let's go against the trend. Why not get Roberto Aguayo with the fifth pick?
Did you edit that? Did you? Because he called him Robert Aguayo the first time around. Did you help him out on that
Mike.
One?
Mike.
Oh, in perpetuity.
Oh, that's great.
We've got him now. Terrence has never been a rejoiner before, I don't think. That's what we, radio term, coming out of the break, that's what we call those little drops that we slide in there for you. Yes, Terrence. Stop it. You're killing me. Terrence called in late in the program yesterday. It's one of those days I wish he had called early in the program. You know what I mean? That would have been an easy next 2 hours.
I'm just going to start tweeting the word Mike to you sometimes.
Mike. We just got, by the way, we just got a mock draft submitted to us, a fan mock draft, a 7-round mock for the Jags. That includes Roberto Aguayo, but at a much more reasonable 5th-round price. They're not drafting Roberto Aguayo.
No, they're not.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars. They, whether you believe in him or not, they believe in Jason Myers, or they believe in the potential he has to fulfill to be one of the better kickers in the league.
I believe in Jason Myers.
You do?
No.
Okay. It didn't sound convincing. That's why I had to question you immediately.
I think, look, man, kickers can get better. Josh had a terrible first year, too. He really did. If you go back and look at Scobie's first year, he wasn't great. I mean, he had misses.
The thing that gives me hope about Myers is that, you know, it's just a mental thing, and mental things can be issues with kickers, is that he was very good on the field goals. You know, he was much better on the field goals, more accurate on the field goals, and if he had switched the numbers around, it wouldn't have changed the overall total points that much, but it certainly the circumstances of when you missed them are big. He missed game winners against Indy, 2 potential game winners, and he missed a, you know, boatload of, what, 7 extra points.
Jason doesn't tweet a lot, but he did tweet when he asked his girlfriend to marry him earlier in the offseason.
I remember seeing
that. And I have a belief that Jason will go and find the coaching in the offseason. Remember when Scobie went and did the thing where he said...
Wait a minute. How are these related? That he asked his girlfriend to marry him?
No, because he wants to keep his job. Like, you can't just get married and then lose your job in the NFL.
Oh, okay. So you're saying this is a financial incentive
right now. You're married
you're
now.
You're suggesting that he's going to have...
Right. He can't just go do keg stands.
That seems like a sexist comment, but maybe I'm looking at it through a sexist filter.
Once you get married, you got responsibilities.
You do have responsibilities. This is correct.
And so he's going to want to keep his job.
All right. I would think he'd probably want to keep it anyway.
He had no motivation before, but now he does.
Now he's got the young lady.
It's hard for me to believe he had much never mind.
Happy wife.
That's what they say. And for the most part, that's true. All right. Let's get a call or two in to start us off today at 641-1010. Again, that is also the number for the 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. Let's get Gary to start us off this morning. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good morning. As a Dolphin fan, I don't mind McShay having Ezekiel Elliott going to the Dolphins with Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry. I wouldn't mind that at all. I'm glad you taught Duval Doom how to spell the word stupid, too, Mike. That was excellent. The question about Miles Jack and some questions about his health that he might possibly have to have microfracture surgery in the next couple of years. Could that divert to the Jaguars and a couple other teams? Could he slip in the draft because of that possibility of some of the medical diagnosis from some of the...
Who's saying he has to have microfracture surgery in the next couple of years?
Several of the NFL people said because of the type of knee injury, he may have to have microfracture surgery within the next couple of years.
Which NFL people are we talking about here when you say NFL people? Like they NFL Network said, people?
They just said, you know...
Who is they? Who is they, Gary?
Teams that looked at him.
Okay.
Some had the opinion that he may have to have microfracture surgery a couple of years down the road. Could that send Miles Jack slipping down the draft board?
Sure, if you feel that is actually the case. I just did a search for Miles Jack microfracture. There are 0 Google results that come back with all 3 of those words included in it.
And nothing on Twitter about that.
The first thing you get is 2016 NFL draft, Miles Jack is more projection and a sure thing. And then, you know how that tells you, like, if any of the words in your search term were not in there, it says missing. Microfracture. It's not in there. It's not in any... So I'm not saying... Maybe you saw it somewhere. I don't know. I did not see anything about Miles Jack needing microfracture surgery. But, yeah, if any training staff thinks that a guy is potential long-term health risk, certainly it can impact his draft stock. People said that about Jay Ajayi last year going to Miami. Not microfracture, I don't think it was. I forget what the exact nature. He's like maybe a long-term degenerative type thing, and he kind of blew that off and ended up going in the fifth round. Did that have a direct impact on his draft stock? I don't know, but it couldn't have helped, right? I mean,
no, it can't.
Keep in mind, there's a lot of misinformation that gets put out there as well. If you like Miles Jack, I would say Miles Jack's knee is hanging by a thread, right? I mean, honestly, you want them to fall to you.
Absolutely.
You can't believe a lot of what you hear. I have not seen one instance of anything online here of anyone connected with anything saying that Miles Jack is a potential microfracture candidate.
In a sense,
we all are, right? I may have to have it one day. I don't know.
Oh, there's no may. I'm sure I have some microfractures.
Right. Look, bottom line, yes, certainly. Of course, if you think he's going to have long-term health implications for his knee, I don't get the sense. Jalen Smith, different story. The Notre Dame linebacker, a lot of people think certainly won't play this year, and his future could be up in the air beyond that even. To me, he's way too risky. Like, in this mock draft that somebody sent in on the text line here, they have Miles Jack going in the first round, Jalen Smith going in round two. I just don't see the Jags in the position that they're in right now being willing to defer another year on one of their top two draft picks like they ended up being forced to do with Dante Fowler Jr.
No, I don't think that's going to happen either. In fact, I personally really hope, and I'm feeling stronger and stronger as we get closer to the draft, that I would really love it if they'd trade back into the first and get some more talent this year. Even if it's the back end, I don't have a particular player. I just think that this is the year that we need to get impact players that are going to be able to play meaningful football in 2016.
It hasn't been Dave Caldwell's MO in the first round. But it has been. I mean, he has moved up to get specific guys. He moved up for Brandon Linder.
Yep.
Moved up for Allen Robinson. So if there's a guy that's sliding, and I know what you're saying, maybe they have a guy graded as, I don't know, the 20th best prospect, and it's picked 29.
Yeah.
Right, something like that, and they say, wow, this guy is clearly the standout, best guy left on the board. Is there a deal we can put together to get him in the fold?
Exactly.
I can understand something like that. So the texter submitted this, so let's go through it. And he said, what do you think on Smith, too early? I think we both agree. For me, that's too early.
I wouldn't take that guy before the fourth round.
Yeah, and I don't know how they feel about it, but, you're basically – hoping that three seasons from now, right? This season, not going to play. Next season, how effective is he going to be after sitting out a year of football, coming off injury? He's probably not going to be his full self at that point in time.
Right.
So now you get him on the field, full strength, maybe for the first time in the third year of his deal. Look, if you're a contender, maybe some team at the end of the second round would take a chance on that.
I didn't have an issue when the Niners took the running back from South Carolina. I thought it was fine.
Right, and that was a fourth-round pick, I think, for Marcus Lattimore.
Right, and they at that point, we didn't know they were about to fall apart and turn into what they've turned into.
And San Fran at that point, too, had done a really good job of accumulating picks. I want to say they probably had like a dozen picks in that draft, or that was in that range where they were well above the seven prescribed picks between picks they had traded for and compensatory picks as well. I don't know, when you compare them side by side, Marcus Lattimore, couple of devastating injuries, never really did anything in the National Football League. It was a nice opportunity for him to try. Hopefully he saved whatever money he made. They've got him taking Ryan Kelly, the center from Alabama, in round three. Again, I have no problem with that. Ryan Kelly's not going to be there for you in round three. I say that. Funny things do happen in the draft. If he's there, this seems more like an ideal wish list to me than a realistic mock draft. Ryan Kelly's considered, in everywhere you look, a top 50 prospect, sometimes a top 40 prospect. Sometimes you see him even sneaking into the first round himself in some of these drafts. If a team needs a center, he's the guy.
When I initially started thinking about trading back into the very back end of the first round, he was who I thought about, just because I would really like an offensive line that doesn't include Luke Jokel.
Honestly, this draft here would have been more realistic if you flipped those two guys. If you said Miles Jack in round one, Ryan Kelly in round two, and then take a chance on Jalen Smith in round three, would have been more realistic. Still don't love it, because I don't think they're going to spend a pick on an offensive lineman that high now, right? I think they feel like they've got five guys, they know who their five starters are likely going to be, not necessarily who's going to play what position, and I count Beecham and Jokel both as starters right now. And then they've also got Bernadeau, who they signed. They've got Shatley. They've got Bowanko. I think they probably feel like they've got not only depth, but versatile depth that can play multiple positions. I'm not saying you can't improve on the offensive line. And last year, I don't think they were targeting A.J. Cann. And when he's sitting there in round three, and he, again, like Ryan Kelly, was considered a top 50, top 40 prospect. And right. So some guys do slide. They pounced on him. It would have to be a scenario like that where somebody stands out.
Absolutely. And I mean, think about it. We're talking about us taking Miles Jack in the first round. If that happens, then we have not addressed the edge rusher again. And the fan base is going to melt down. So I can't see using the second round. You're going to have to take an edge. I understand what they think, but you got to take some additional edge rusher.
It's okay because we fix it because in round four they take defensive end Carl Nassib out of Penn State.
All right.
That's fine.
Sure.
You know, I don't mind. You know, at that point, you know, you're kind of throwing darts at some of these guys out there.
I really like Noah Spence. I want us to draft Noah Spence.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because we asked a couple of days ago, it was the worst case scenario question of the day, which was if Tunsil and the three defensive players that we talked the most about, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Joey Bosa, are all gone, who is the next guy that you would like to see the Jags take if they were stuck at five? And I would say Noah Spence got as many votes as anybody.
Noah Spence was my answer.
Was he your answer?
Yes, he was.
See, I don't think the Jags would do that.
I don't think they're going to take him at five either. I would be totally fine if they did.
I think if he's sitting there in the second round, absolutely.
He's not going to be sitting
there. I don't think he will. But I don't even know if they'd truly be comfortable. I think they would be pushing the boundaries of their comfort level to take him in the second round.
But Dave's already said that he's willing to push the boundaries of his comfort level.
Well, he did that with Olivier Vernon, right? He far yes, exceeded he the boundaries of that comfort level. But I think, again, I agree with you. I don't think it's a situation where they wouldn't do it, but I do think that would be the scenario you're talking about. They'd be like, you know what? All right, you know, we're going to roll the dice, and there'd be some trepidation about it. But in the second round, once you've got, if you've got a guy on board, if you were able to land Miles Jack in the first round, you
trade
really
back in and get Noah Spence at the end of the first.
Oh, even if he didn't, if he fell to you, let's say. And I don't think he will either.
No, but somebody will take him at the end.
You see a lot of people project him to go 20th to the Jets. I see that projection quite a bit. A lot of who doesn't need pass rush, right?
Right.
Who can't use more pass
That's
rush?
That's why
everybody.
I really think that some general manager is going to convince himself because of the repeated drug tests that he's passed this past year. Some general manager is going to convince himself because of his talent level to take him in the first round.
You know what? They may be right.
Yeah.
They may be right.
He seems to me like it would be difficult to continue to hide that drug habit once the whole world knows you had it.
Think back now, that then again, drugs are an insidious thing, man. I mean, you know, some people, you get hooked, and I'm not saying he was hooked. It was, and by the way, it was ecstasy, and I think that is why, I think, you know, NFL people, by and large, whatever you think about them, the ones who actually work for organization, I'm not talking players now, I'm talking about coaching staffs.
Right.
I'm talking about front office. I think they're by the book kind of people. I think they understand the world's changing. Attitudes towards drugs are changing, but it's attitudes towards marijuana that are particularly changing. And I don't think they don't look at marijuana as the bad thing. They look at the decision to smoke it at the wrong time as the bad thing. Right? And as a lapse in judgment. I think they're afraid when you start getting into more psychoactive ends of the spectrum, and ecstasy is kind of like, whoa, he was doing what? You know, like it's very foreign to the NFL way of thinking.
He was only doing it on the weekends, Mike.
He said, I didn't have a problem. I wasn't hooked. I was just trying to party.
Right.
Trying to get my swerve on.
He was getting right.
Hey, you know, whatever. You know, I hope it doesn't – I hope for his sake he could put that aside, truly, and capitalize on the next 10 years of your life, then go party like a madman if you want to, because you'll have the money to do it.
Yes, you will.
In the fifth round, the same mock draft here, Roberto Aguayo. Again, we said,
we're not drafting a kicker.
We're not drafting it, but if you're going to get him, start the fifth round and on is where, you know, you can't be going early on
that
a kicker.
That fifth round pick will be gone anyway because we traded up to get Noah Spence.
Okay, so that's going to be the cost. The fifth, and what else are we giving up here? Just the fifth?
We're giving up all the picks after five.
All the picks. Five, six, and seven.
Yeah, they're all gone, so we can get back into the second time.
Oh, this is going to make these mock drafts much easier going forward.
Yeah, now, we're just drafting in the first and the second, and then one pick in the third, and
right.
Then we're done.
I just need to get four guys now.
Pretty much.
Antonio Morrison, out of Florida, inside linebacker. I think it would depend on what you project Miles Jack to be, ultimately. I'm not saying once you get into the sixth round, by the way, you're not not everybody has to be a future starter, right? But no. Antonio Morrison, I could see as a two-down starter for some team in the middle, maybe sooner rather than later. I don't know if he's going to be around in the sixth round, to be honest with you.
No, I'm not sure that he would be either. There's another player from Florida that I kind of liked in the second round if he's still there, but he's a defensive tackle. Broussard?
You're talking about Bullard? Jonathan
Yeah,
Bullard.
Yeah, Bullard. That's it. I wouldn't mind if we drafted him.
It's funny. I was talking to a couple of guys who were over at Florida's Pro Day. They said, just didn't look that explosive the
really?
Other day. Yeah, I don't. I kind of like Bullard as well, but I think now that they signed Malik Jackson,
it's hard.
Bullard to me seems like a guy who can play that left end spot on the early downs, can slide inside. I mean, don't they have a bunch of that right now? You know what I mean?
I keep looking at our defensive line and wanting it to be like the defensive line the year the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Right, but they had more Greyhound types,
yeah.
I thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Strahan was one of those guys that could slide inside, but they had
Tuck,
you know,
Umanyora.
And the kid from Boston College, right? Was he still there?
I think so. I can't
remember. Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
With a K. Why can't I think of his name? Anyway, let me wrap this up. We'll come back and we'll get further into it. Matt Judon from Grand Valley State going in the sixth round. And Romeo Okwara from Notre Dame, a defensive end. So taking a chance on three edge rushers among the last five picks.
Quanterra Smith, look out for your roster
spot. Hey, Quanterra Smith, could be one of these guys that surprises you.
You've been raving about Quanterra Smith.
It's not that I'm raving about it. It's that, when how something sticks in your head
right.
and you just can't get rid of it, and it forms this impression. And I remember clearly reading about him when he was in camp the first year with the Denver Broncos, and they were raving about this guy. This guy was going to be a steal, and he was going to be a revelation. He needed a couple of years to really get to where he was going to be. He's had a bunch of injuries, and that's just always kind of been there. The stories of where did this guy come from happen every year, right?
Sure. And
I'm not predicting that that's going to happen, but it could. And you can't count on that happening if you're the Jags. So.
No, but it would be great if it did.
Right, which is why they went and offered Olivier Vernon crazy money. All right, we'll take a break. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. With Duval Doom, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Give the man a contract extension. Come on.
Woo!
Like it. Alan Hearns, baby. Saw him out in San Fran. You know what he was doing there?
No.
Just spreading the word. Spreading the gospel.
No
of the
PR guy. By himself.
Just
representing
hanging,
himself.
That's my man.
You know what? You know who else was like that after his rookie year?
Who?
Doom's boy, J.J. J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's first year in the league. Had just gone to the playoffs, right? Against Kansas City. Houston and Kansas City. And was getting all these raves. And he's sitting there by himself at a table. That's when I got him to put the Shad Khan mustache on. Have you seen
Shut
that picture?
Shut you down!
Of J.J. Watt wearing a Shad Khan mustache?
Mike,
what?
Look at my face, Mike.
J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt. What? What's wrong?
I hate that guy.
I know you do.
You ever hear the story about how he had quit football and he was delivering pizza and the little kid convinced him to go back to football?
Yes.
I'm going to find that kid one day.
Irish Jaguar, our boy Stevie, said, just to piss Doom off, I'd cast J.J. Watt as Superman. But then he added both overhyped nonsense. So that wouldn't tick you off at all. That would make you happy.
Well, no, because I love Superman and Stevie knows that.
Oh, I see. So that's where the conflict
comes
in.
Here's the thing about Stevie.
He's bald.
I'm going to let you in a little secret. He is now.
Yeah,
I'm going to let you in a little secret. I talk to Stevie a lot throughout the day. He's not a good person. I mean, that's just all there's. No, he's a bad person.
Yeah.
Right.
And a guy who doesn't realize when they don't sell beer on Good Friday in Ireland, you buy it on Thursday.
Right, exactly.
What's wrong with
you? I saw that and I was like, dude, just stock up. What's
right?
your problem?
By the way, Stoff are two. They really are the axis of evil over there in the UK.
They are.
Right? Stoff and Irish Jaguar. Stoffless Prime has tweeted us a picture of the free poster he received when he went to the opening of Batman v Superman last night. And Stoff has got that beautiful bald dome going too, man. So
right, he does. And see, the thing, he likes to throw that stuff out there, but all you have to do to get Stoff back is tweet him a picture of the temperature in your car, and that'll make him cry for a week
because
it's like 40 degrees in Ireland and England all
Stoff
time.
And Irish are good people, man. All kidding aside, let's get some calls.
But J.J. Watt is not.
J.J. Watt is a miserable human being.
Exactly.
Although he did wear the Shad Khan stash for us one time. I think he made some gesture to indicate he wasn't down with it. I think he gave the thumbs down while he was wearing it. But
that's
okay.
You can crop that thumb out.
You can crop the thumb out, and there's J.J. Watt with a Shad Khan mustache.
You know where he really wants to play.
You know it, baby. Come on down. The train is leaving the station. Hurry. Get on board. Run. 641-1010, the number. Let's go to Justin. I love the reach of the program, Yeah. Right? We had a caller from Spain last week, Tyler, and I was slow to get to him, so we can't check Spain off the list. If you're in Spain right now and listening to the program, 904-641-1010. You probably got to do the plus one thing, a whole number with the international dialing. We'll put you top of the list today, okay? We got Atlanta on the line. Justin in Atlanta talking Jaguar football.
I was just in Atlanta last weekend.
What's up, Justin? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man.
Good.
Listen, I just had a question. I'm probably going to get a lot of grief about it for two reasons, but how bold or what do you think the possibility is? I love either Jack or Ramsey at five, but I was thinking if we were able to give up a second and a fourth this year, a second and a fifth next year, and a third the following year, could we come up and get Noah Spence in the first round too?
Woo, I like this guy.
Boy, a second and a fourth this year, a second and a fifth next year, and what else?
A third the following year to get Noah Spence this year in the first.
Way too much.
I was going to say, if we could get rid of one of them second round picks, I'd be down with it.
I don't see Dave giving up a second this year, a second next year, three additional picks, including a third rounder a couple years down the road. Most teams are very hesitant to include third rounders coming back or picks that far out coming back their way. You know why? Because the GM is making the deal may not have a job, and
right,
that may not help him enough. You're gonna have to do that in a situation. Now, you may find a team that has a locked-in type situation, where there's a lot of stability. But that price, Justin, off the top sounds pretty steep.
I told you, Justin, we just need to give up the back half of this draft and jump back up there and get him.
I wonder, as we get closer, maybe that'll be a poll question. If you've got a chance to get what you feel is an impact pass rusher, how many of these picks are you willing to give up to get that guy? And, I think good chance Noah Spence is off the board somewhere in the mid-20s, which probably, once you start getting, I think Dave Caldwell's ears would perk up if the picks start becoming available around, say, 25, 26, because you go up much higher, then the price is going to be what, next year's first?
I don't know. I just know that when Dave said, and I know it's all GM speak, and we can't trust anything Dave says this time of year, but when he mentioned being willing to drop back into the teens, that made me feel like he considers Noah Spence a strong candidate.
You've got it all figured out, don't you? You know it's Noah Spence. That SS is not south of Spain, is it? That south side?
South side, correct.
All right, just checking. All right, Mike on the south side next up here. Justin, thank you for the call. We think that price is a little much for Noah Spence or anybody else, at least from the Jaguars' point of view, to get back up there. Maybe I'm wrong. I have to look at what some of the deals have gone down for to get back into the first round. We should look at the Teddy Bridgewater deal.
No price is too heavy for RJJ Watt.
Oh, boy, here we go. Let's go to Mike on the south side next on Jaguars Today. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Mike and Doom, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, listen, just be a little patient with me. I got two moves on draft day will make a playoff contender.
Okay, as long as the first one's not draft a kicker fifth overall.
If you say draft a kicker, I'm hitting the hang-up button.
No. You guys will be you got to be patient with me on this one.
All right,
one,
go ahead.
Trade up to Tennessee, give them Joker. We take our best defensive player we think's on the board, which I believe is Jalen Ramsey. So we give them Joker. We sabotage the Tennessee by giving them the left tackle.
Right.
We take the best player we think that's in the defense, and then on that same day we sign Peyton Manning to be roommates with Bortles for the rest of the year and teach this kid how to quarterback. That's going to put us in the playoffs. I'll take your comments off the air.
All right, thank you, Mike. I'm glad you prepared us to hang on through.
I can't say my comments on the air.
Well, first off, it's funny from both sides. I don't think Tennessee would move down. First of all, if you're going to do a trade with a division rival, it can happen.
You have to really make them pay.
Or it's got to be both sides have to really feel like they're getting a good deal. Tennessee would not, I don't think, just accept Jokel for that drop, in my opinion.
I think Mike Mularkey would run screaming into the room, stop, stop, no, no.
Right, but from the Jags' perspective, I think they look at Jokel as a guy that still has a lot of potential. Now, clearly, they are moving away from him being a sure thing with the signing of Kelvin Beachum. There's no question about that.
They're not ready to just toss him overboard. No.
That deal would not get made.
No. Like I said, I'd like to see him as a swing tackle, maybe a depth tackle, you know.
The second point on Peyton Manning, I think you're being a little bit facetious. But you go. But Peyton Manning didn't strike me as the kind of guy that, weren't the stories like, I kind of left Brock alone to do his own thing, so it wasn't like I was looking over his shoulder. In other words, hey, wait a minute. I'm the quarterback here. I'm not helping this guy, right?
Didn't Jim Irsay get rid of Peyton Manning because he knew he couldn't coexist with Andrew Luck?
Right. Well, I mean that to me actually makes some sense because of the, you know, the situation. But first of all, Peyton Manning has got – you would have to pay him and again, I think you're kidding, kind of, but you'd have to pay him an ungodly sum of money. What does he need that hassle for?
Look, man, if we're paying a quarterback to come live with Bortles here, we're going to Mississippi and we're getting Favre off the tractor.
There you go. That's right. That's a good one. I like that. Let's get DJ on the south side. Not the south of Spain yet, but we'll keep working on it. Hi, DJ. How are you?
What's up, fellas? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got two questions. My first question, in the Borders draft, didn't Dave Caldwell say he was still in calls for that third pick?
I think he got calls. I think was it Buffalo who wanted to move up for Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, he did mention that somebody wanted to and that he ultimately decided not to, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, okay. What's your point about?
And the reason why I hear a lot of people say, if you know, because of the Cleveland deal, quarterback might not be taken and somebody they might be able to drop down. But with that said, with that draft, I feel like this is that type of draft that they is. I don't think the Jets can afford to drop down. I think they have to get the best player available and not drop down four or five spots. What you guys think about that?
Well, again, I think it would depend on what you get offered, and that's what it always comes down to. But I thought the direction he was going with this call was, if you are willing to listen to offers, how committed could you be to the guy you're planning on picking? Well, you should always be willing to listen to offers. If somebody's willing to blow you away with an RG3-type deal, you never know.
You have to
listen. Why don't you answer the phone and see multiple first-round picks could entice you, and maybe you still get the guy you like. See, again, in this draft, Dave Caldwell's MO has been more often than not, Doom, that I want a guy. I don't want two good guys. I want one great guy. Give me one great guy over two good guys. We're getting a lot of good guys. We need some great guys, some difference makers. And the higher you pick, the better chance you have to get one. Now, that being said, if it played out like we said, let's say Tunsil goes first and the three top defensive players are off the board, is there a market for a team willing to come up and get one of the quarterbacks, their choice of quarterback? I still think it's more likely that the deal gets done with Baltimore because the NFL is funny. Like, I would think, well, okay, everyone else is going to be thinking I got to deal with Baltimore. Let me get ahead of that pick and let me preemptively strike. But the NFL seems to think, well, why should I pay to get there when I can wait a pick, pay a little bit less, and get that spot? You know, it's like people say, why would anyone give a seventh-round pick for this guy? They'll wait till he gets released. Well, to me, I'd give a seventh-round pick for a player if I think he's going to make my team because then I eliminate the competition. Once he gets released, he can sign with anybody, right? So when it comes to trading, the NFL seems to be, let's not move up any higher than we need to move up. And therefore, with San Fran sitting there at number seven and a candidate to select a quarterback with Chip Kelly coming in as a first-year head coach, you want to get one spot ahead of them to Baltimore because you know they're not taking a quarterback with Joe Flacco there. They're at least not taking one in the top 10. So that, I guess, would be the hope that there's some market created because at that point in time, who is the guy? You may like Noah Spence. You probably get Noah Spence at the back end of the top 10, right? I mean, any of these guys that people are in love with, Shaq Lawson, Noah Spence, one of these guys will be sitting there for you.
You think?
In the top 10?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about in the back end of the first.
No, not the back end. He's saying, would you move down four or five spots?
Oh, no.
And he's saying, to me, I'd be very open to moving down four or five spots if the guys I really love are off the board. Yeah. And who knows? They may love DeForest Buckner. They may love somebody we're not even discussing at this point in time.
No, they love Noah Spence.
Well, you're convinced of that because they've listened to your scouting report on him. All right, we got to take a timeout. 641-1010. We'll keep the phone lines open to you throughout the second hour of the program as well. Hop on board. You got a lot of texts coming in on the 1010XL text line that is powered by Duval Ford. We got the latest one saying, talking trades is dumb. All right, you're dumb, okay? I mean, why is it dumb? It's sports talk radio, for goodness sake. So should we just sit there and say, well, let's narrow our list down to five players, and they can only select one of these five guys.
We could do in-depth analysis of their combine numbers.
We can do anything we want. Okay?
I mean, I can pull it up in the break, and we can just say 4.5.
Let's just read 40 times off. Let's do that. Let's read 40 times off. When we return, Duval Doom reads 40 times from the NFL Combine.
Woo!
This date in football, I'll give you a little preview. Nothing happened. And also the Honda drive around the NFL coming up. It's Jaguars Today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Can't wait!
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
It's Duval Doom's favorite segment. So you know what we decided to do today, Tyler? We decided...
Is he going
to
read it?
Well, there's nothing... truly, I could find nothing of significance that happened on this date in football history. I went and looked at the birthday list on profootballreference.com. I couldn't find a single Jaguar, former Jaguar, Hall of Famer, multi-time Pro Bowler, anybody you'd care about whatsoever on there, unless Leo Donahue does something for you. He was born on this date in 1939.
Oh, great player. I remember him.
You know, multifaceted. He could play both guard and tackle, so they tell me. So other than Leo Donahue, we thought we'd go to Duval Doom, our entertainment correspondent this morning, and he's going to hit us up with some famous historical birthdays for March 25th. Doom.
Well, today, I don't know what you were looking at, but I found plenty. Noted Jaguars fan Aretha Franklin.
She's about as big as a nose tackle now. Is that accurate?
She turned 74 today.
She could probably rush the passer for us, right?
My wife's all-time favorite, and that's I'm not trying to fat shame her. She's a big lady, man, she's a powerhouse is what she is.
Everyone's favorite race car driver, Danica Patrick.
Oh, Danica. Yeah. All right. She's definitely the most attractive race car driver. I'll give her that.
And then my personal favorite, and you won't know who this is, so it's okay. Ali Machaca turns 27 years old.
Ali Machaca. Tyler Devitt.
Very beautiful.
Isn't she, though?
Is she? Why do you suggest I don't know who she is?
Because she was a part of a pop duo in the...
She was a Disney star.
She was a Disney kid.
Oh, was she?
She's 27 now, so it's all good.
Well, would Hacker know her then? Or we assume Hacker would know her, right?
I don't know if Hacker watches the Disney Channel, the Disney experience in the theme parks.
He claimed he used to watch a Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, wait, this might actually be a... Nah, maybe remember wrong. Did Catherine McPhee ever...
Did you screw up this date?
No. Those people are birthdays, but I found another one.
What about Catherine McPhee?
Did Catherine McPhee do the national anthem one year when she was on American Idol? Did she sing the national anthem here in Jacksonville one year?
I don't know, man.
It's her birthday today. She turned 32.
Did she? That would have been a nice Jaguar connection
right there. I think she might have.
You know, Aretha has a Gus Bradley tattoo. I'm not going to tell you where.
I know. She doesn't
talk about
it.
So there is that connection as well. She didn't do many interviews when it comes to
You know, when I went to look this up, I was hoping for two people. I was hoping for two Jaguar connections. I was hoping for Fred Durst.
Okay.
I would have straight up gone into some Limp Bizkit lyrics.
Would you?
Yeah. And I was hoping for Teddy Roosevelt because of how he saved football. Just like he saved everything else back at the beginning of...
He did save football. You're right about that. That would have been good. But unfortunately, none of those things happened.
No, they did not.
On this date in football history.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars fans should be hoping and praying a quarterback goes, or two quarterbacks go in the top four. That would have Jags fans getting a really good player at number five. And one of the teams who is most likely to take a quarterback is the Cleveland Browns at number two, even though they just signed Robert Griffin III away from the Redskins yesterday. Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer was on Mike and Mike this morning, and that's exactly what she thinks they'll do, the Browns going after a quarterback at number two.
I think they will still draft a quarterback at number two. I think they really need to. They have not drafted a quarterback high since Tim Couch in 1999. The rest of those guys that have come through here, they've all been at number 22. They haven't worked out. They need to go QB at number two.
We talked about the report yesterday from Howard Balzer of 590, the Fan in St. Louis, that the NFL and the league office agreed not to ask the Rams to be the focus of Hard Knocks as they drafted Michael Sam. Jeff Fisher flat out denied that report on Mike and Mike yesterday.
There was some inference also as well that's been brought to my attention that someone suggested that we drafted Michael Sam to avoid being on Hard Knocks. And that in itself is absolutely absurd. It's 100% incorrect. I was really taken back by those comments. And as insulting from my standpoint, as it relates to Michael, you know, we had 3 7th-round picks. We drafted Michael. He was the best player on the board. And, you know, who in their right mind would think that you give up a draft choice to avoid doing something like that? Something that I think that would benefit the organization.
New 49ers head coach Chip Kelly looks like he's got Blaine Gabbert as his starting quarterback this season, and Chip was very complimentary of Gabbert at the owners' meetings down in Boca last week. A quote from Kelly, I'm impressed by Blaine, who he's met, admittedly, only met Gabbert once in person and only talked to him on the phone multiple times since taking the job. Kelly continues on to compliment Gabbert. You watch him in the last couple games he started. He's another guy. You look at his skill set. He took off against the Bears and went 44 yards down the field for a touchdown. He ran a 4.61 in the combine when he was coming out. He's big. I'd never really dealt with Blaine because he came into the league before I came into the league. But just how big and physical and impressive he is. He's a 6'4", 245-pound guy that can really run. And I thought the last part of the season he played really well. It'll be intriguing to work with him, too. Those are the words of Chip Kelly on Blaine Gabbert. And notice how he just said he's good at running, very good at running. He's fast at running. Not one thing about him throwing the football.
The whole throwing aspect of the quarterback position.
Did they mention to Chip that you don't carry a football during the combine?
And does Blaine know that the rule changed? Did they? I think Kansas City pulled back their rule proposal right about when you fall down in the fetal position, you're no longer allowed to get up anymore.
The Peyton Manning rule.
And throw the ball. Right. But I think KC did actually table that, so it didn't go to a vote.
Right.
So it's still a part of the National Football League. This just in, Beth Meckley from across the street at the CW17. Have you seen her tweet in your general direction, sir?
No.
She's proudly displaying that UNC versus all T-shirt. I think you guys should meet in the parking lot.
And she's across the street right now.
CW17, man. That's my girl Beth over there.
Tyler doesn't look around. He doesn't know what's around.
He's like, there's a TV station across the street. That's amazing.
Television.
You guys should meet in the parking lot, and then we can have you versus Beth, Tyler v Beth, as the undercard to Doom v Batman, who's coming by. He's bringing us food as well. Hopefully from the Danny and Anytime Deli line of fine sandwiches, but. Bold City Batman is going to make an appearance. Does he know, by the way, that we're in studio and not at the stadium?
Ooh. I didn't tell him.
That'd be a big problem.
Uh-oh. 9090 Hogan Road,
he's
Batman.
He's down at the stadium, and they're like, get this nut job the game.
Are you here to fix the roof? No. No. 9090 Hogan Road. Pop that into your GPS there.
Mr. Khan, a man named Bold City Batman is here to see you.
Sean knows who he is. Trust me. You see his avatars. Him and Gus hanging together.
Big deal. I met Gus way before.
Here we go, Mr. Insider. 641-1010. Let's get back to the phone lines here on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Scott on the west side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Great. What's up?
Good. So I've been kind of looking at linebackers in the draft
and
targeted in the third round, Scooby Wright. Just wanted to know what you thought about him and, you know, just some help in general at linebacker. I mean, I think we need Paz's ultimate replacement sometime soon. And, you know, we just can never seem to have too many good linebackers. So, yeah, Miles Jack, number one, and then add maybe a couple more later in the draft.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I think, put it this way, if they go Miles Jack with the fifth pick, I think you have to ask yourself, what do you see him as long-term? Do you see him as your middle linebacker? And if you do, then you're not going to be drafting an inside linebacker in the third round. And that's what Scooby Wright, I think, projects to be, if I'm not mistaken. He played for Arizona and didn't have a good combine, but had a better pro day. But they all have good pro days, right?
They do. I'm totally fine with drafting a player named Scooby, though.
Okay.
I think that'd be a fun chant to get started. Scooby dooby doo. I mean,
sure.
It'll be better than Luke, like the Carolina fans.
Yeah, everyone with that ooh sound.
It's because it gets really loud. It's easy to get loud.
Yeah.
You guys remember Austin Lane getting the very weird questions at the combine, right?
Yes, I do remember that.
Scooby Wright told Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio on March 23rd that he was also asked at the combine if my mother
too?
Was attractive.
Who is this Damon Amendolara? Is that who you were referencing earlier?
Ali Machaca?
Oh, that's not the same person.
No, different person.
And what was the question again that was asked?
Scooby Wright told Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio, he was asked at the combine, do you think my mother is attractive or is your mother attractive? Basically what Austin Lane was asked earlier. So Scooby Wright got the same question.
Scooby Wright was asked, does he think his own mother
Correct.
Is attractive?
Yes.
That's weird, man.
It is. Like, what are you trying to get out there, man? I mean, quit playing amateur psychologist. I would say, you know, my mom's a beautiful lady, and anybody who doesn't think so can go jump in a lake, right? Because that's my strong retort that I'm trying to bring back. Go jump in a lake, dude.
I'm not going to help.
See if I can make that happen in 2016. All right, looky here. 641-1010.
Why not get Roberto Aguayo with the fifth pick?
Oh, let's ask him. As a follow-up, Terrence is back with us today. Hello, Terrence. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hey, dude. What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I said, you know, Mike, I appreciate you supporting me on what I was saying yesterday, too.
do you like the fine amount of support I sent your way for that? All right, Terrence.
Yes. Yeah, you know, when you looked and said, hey, we drafted R.J. Stout in the first round. I was like, man, that's my man.
You're right. You know what? Sebastian Janikowski in the 2000 draft was a better pick than R.J. Soward was for the Jaguars. So I grant you that a kicker can be a better pick. In fact, if you took Aguayo, it would be a bad pick because it's a reach, but I guarantee you he'd probably have a better career than several other guys who will go in the first round, no matter who goes after him. But still a crazy thought. So what's your comeback today?
Hey, Mike, I know this is a defensive draft. Before I say that, too, I want everybody to stop making the third. It takes three phases to win a football game. So, you know, stop knocking the third phase, the special thing. And but Mike, I think we're gonna go offense in that second round. I was just looking at Ryan Kelly. He's ranked like the 35th player based on one of these mock drafts. You got to get the center. I was looking at also at Miles Jack, and I thought he did get hurt last year.
Yeah.
So but I'm thinking Miles Jack, and you got to come back and try to get up and get Ryan Kelly, that center. You got to get the offensive position straight, that line straight now.
Well, Terrence, I mean, they feel like Brandon Linder is going to be not only an adequate center, but maybe an exceptional center. I mean, they have a lot of faith that Brandon Linder can play the position. You know,
but that's not his natural position. You want to leave him at his natural position. So why mess that up? I mean, and then you come back. There's so many good defensive ends coming out. It's third round on down. So you can take that second pick and go offense.
By the way, Terrence, linebacker's not Miles Jack's natural position. He's a running back. Who switched to linebacker in college.
So can what? We?
So should we not draft him?
Can we count that as an offensive selection?
Okay. But Mike, also I heard y'all was high on Noah Spence, and I think they say he thrives better in the 3-4, so we don't run a 3-4.
Doom is high on Noah Spence. I think if they feel, put it this way, if they feel that Noah Spence would fit with what they want to do as a Leo in this scheme, and granted that Fowler's going to play that, but again, the idea is to get as many good pass rushers as you can, then I'd be fine with them taking a chance on him in the second round. You know, I get it, Terrence. You want Roberto Aguayo here. You're not going to ever convince us that he is worth a first-round pick.
Terrence, I get what you're saying, dude. I was so frustrated with that kicker last year. I completely understand. But look, man, you cannot take the kicker that high. You can't take him in the first four rounds. I mean, if you want to say take a five on him, okay. I mean, I'll take it.
But I don't think this team, put it this way, whether you can or not, I don't think this team will. And I could see a scenario where you take a kicker. I mean, we've seen kickers go in round two.
Sure.
Right? I think Mike Nugent might have been one of the most recent ones for the Bengals, right?
When did Vanderjack get drafted?
I'm not sure when he got drafted. It's funny, it was his birthday yesterday. He and Peyton Manning had the same birthday.
Isn't that really?
Weird? Isn't that strange?
So Peyton's idiot kicker?
Yes. On the same, they're born on the same day, 6 years apart. That's kind of weird to me. Terrence, we appreciate the call. And I appreciate you referencing me by my first name, as you often do.
Mike.
Yes. But other than that, Roberto Aguayo is going to be playing for somebody else, it looks like. Unless he hangs around a lot longer than any of us think in the draft. But even then, I just don't see this team go in that direction. They're going with Jason Myers at kicker, and they've got their punter that they signed in free agency, and that's what they're doing.
The idiot kicker went in the eighth round.
He went in the eighth round, back when there was an eighth round.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Pick 58.
All right, pick 58.
Yeah, that's what it says.
How can it be pick 58 in the eighth round?
I don't.
Oh, you mean so? Oh, a bunch of compensatory picks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so there were like 60 picks.
Oh
in
no,
that
that's
round.
His that's his CFL draft. He was not drafted in the NFL.
Unbelievable, this guy Doom. Mr. Four Timer, I hope you've enjoyed it, folks. Duval Doom in here.
Whatever.
We're going to be working out Batman in the final segment of the program today. See
I don't
how
know.
That works for us.
We might not be. I got this tweet. He is indeed at the stadium.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad timing.
That's on his buddy.
Is he heading over this way?
I assume so, because he said murdering everyone.
Oh, no.
Swear I was invited by a man named Duval Doom here. I swear.
It just dawned on us. We may have Batman v Superman in the parking lot. Tyler v Beth on the undercard. Dude. Indiana versus UNC. And then Doom v. Batman.
He's wily, but if I get my hands on him...
Well, I would agree with that, but he's got all that technology at his disposal. Apparently, GPS is not a part of that technology, but...
Oh, no!
9090 Hogan Road, Batman. We'll see you if we see you. We got to take a break. We'll come back, check in on the text line as well. The 1010XL text line driven by Duval Ford. Fridays brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. You know if you need... roofing problem or roofing help right now, roofing solutions, because all this rain that we've been getting, if you do or you feel like it's just time to upgrade, re-roofs, repairs, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Uh-oh, Doom, you better be on your best behavior now, son.
I ain't scared.
The Batcave has produced the man. Is his? Can you turn his mic on there, Tyler, on Brown? We good? Hello, Batman. How are you?
You don't need to turn that on.
I'm here. I'm mad at everybody, but I'm here.
Oops. We just assume everybody knows. Everybody, we had this mind meld thing going on.
I don't understand. You don't read everything I tweet? Jerk.
No. I'm pretty sure I have you blocked. I'm not sure yet.
I did once.
Yeah, you did.
He came back from the dead, much like maybe he'll need to. You haven't seen Batman v Superman yet.
I'm going tonight.
Why are you going tonight? I tried to get you to go this afternoon.
Yeah, I've got this thing called work. People got to eat.
Come on, Doom.
It's a holiday for us.
Yeah.
Doom's like, hit me up yesterday. Every day he's off now. He wants to come hang. All right?
I don't have any.
You know what it is, Batman? He wants to run his numbers up so high. This is his fourth appearance as a guest host of the program. And really, we don't have any others,
want to be Steve Martin in all the sketches.
Right. You're going to be out there in the smoking jacket welcoming people to the Five Timers Club if anyone ever makes it. We might have to have a One Timers Club.
Oh, sure. That guy walking down the street, bring him in. I'll talk to him. Stop it, man.
He is walking. That guy is walking the nice dog down the street. Bold City Batman is in the house. This is kind of a nice treat. What'd you bring us from the dandy
cooler? Those look good.
They do look good.
I brought the best of the best, top of the line, man. That's our Anytime Deli product, man. We got our three-meat trio with our fancy new strap that goes on. It's, eye catcher as you're walking by the cold case.
I like that. And it's got that Asiago sub, which we talk about all the time. What else we got in here?
You got your Ultimate Italian. That, man, is delicious. My favorite.
Garlic Parmesan sub. Oh. Dibs for Devitt on that one. By the way, have you seen the outfit that Tyler's wearing today?
I did. I saw y'all tweeted out a picture of it.
Yeah, any comment on that?
I have no comment. No comment.
Says the man who wears a full Batman suit.
I mean, not saying that I wouldn't wear it.
Understood. And then we've got, what else do we have here?
That is your cranberry chicken salad. That is a favorite amongst everybody.
That is so good,
man.
It's
delicious.
That is so good. Batman, you're a good man.
Does it taste like cranberry?
I'll be rooting for you this weekend.
I wish.
You know how I like the cranberry.
I know you like cranberries.
All right. Before we get into serious football talk here, Batman v Superman, your expectations for the job Ben Affleck is going to do with your title character?
Me and my dad actually had this conversation numerous times. I don't like Ben Affleck. I was sincerely upset when they casted him as Batman. I don't like his chin. It really upsets me looking at it, and I don't think it's going to look good in the cowl, but I'm always open. I am a Batman fan, not so much a Superman fan. I don't like you, Doom, but I'm pretty excited about going and seeing it.
The chin is all like a whole thing, right? I mean, it's like an internet thing. Is his chin acceptable as the bat chin?
It's not.
It'll be acceptable for when Superman punches it a bunch of times.
I'm going to punch it.
You see, he blocks that one.
I ain't been here five minutes.
Yeah, one time with his little electric suit.
Throws that forearm.
I'm
going to
show you
there.
An electric suit in a minute.
You're Iron Man. That's who you are. You're Iron Man.
All right, we can sell tickets to this right now. If you like Batman v Superman, Batman v Doom in the parking lot coming up on the next break. But the reviews have been a little lukewarm, but the ones I've read say Affleck is actually the best part of the movie, that he really killed it.
It's going to have to be proved to me. It's going to have to be proved.
That's fair.
I think I saw one that talked about Gal Gadot too, playing Wonder Woman.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Gal Gadot, is it Gadot or Godot?
It's G-A-D-O-T. It's probably Godot.
I don't know. I've never heard of her before this movie.
She's in all the Fast and the Furious movies.
Really? That's why I haven't heard of her.
I think I've seen like
Fast
three
and
of them.
The Furious is this generation's godfather, Mike. Get with the program.
Oh, stop now.
No. I stole that. I stole that straight.
Now you've got off the rails.
I stole that straight from BBS. BBS tweeted that one.
Oh my goodness.
I saw a review this morning about it that compared Ben Affleck to a little better George Clooney. And if that's the case, I'm not gonna be happy with my.
This is supposed to be like an older Batman, right?
Yeah. He is supposed to be world weary in this movie, but it doesn't matter. You're not gonna be happy anyway because Superman's gonna kick his booty.
I'm gonna fight you. This is not.
Wonder Woman's gonna be the star of this movie. Am I right? I think Wonder Woman's gonna end up being the star of this movie. Oh, look what the cat drug in. Now we got Christoph joining us from the UK.
Who
on the phone lines? Dial plus one for all you UK listeners out there. Let's get Christoph on board. Christoph, your shiny head looks absolutely spectacular in your latest tweet. How are you, man?
Thank you. I'm good. Yourself?
Fantastic, buddy. You got to see it last night, right? Batman v Superman. No spoilers. How was it?
I personally liked it. The first hour is a bit messed up, but if you're a comic book nerd, like I'm assuming the rest of you guys all are.
We kind of are. By the way, the rest of the audience, it's not click, 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 click.
They're so mad right now.
The rest of the guys in said room that I'm speaking to.
That's right. That's right. How did Affleck do? Was Affleck okay as Batman?
I personally really like Ben Affleck as Batman. I will say this. He's a very brutal Batman.
Okay. Did Captain Britain make an appearance in this one?
It's a wrong
call. I know. It's Marvel.
No spoiler alert. That's good. Said information.
I like that.
Good job, Stoff.
All right, Stoff.
Is he better than I am, though?
Yes.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Come on.
No way.
BCB Batman for the next role, which, by the way, he's getting old. He's going to need to be replaced in one of these Justice League movies
casted. They told me I drink too much.
So. Is that what it is?
That's what they told me.
Well, you can have, like, one of those crisis of conscience that he seems to have every once in a while, and
Tony Stark
into a bottle for a few years. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could do that.
It could happen.
Maybe.
Do you want some inside the tailgate information?
No.
You know, he used to be more committed to his character.
Is that right?
Yeah, this past tailgate, this past season, it was hot. He didn't wear that costume the whole time.
I hit out in the car every now and then.
You got to be Bruce Wayne some of the time, too. It's okay.
Well, we did it different this year. We got there every morning at 6:30 to 7 every morning. And it was extremely, extremely hot after drinking that much throughout the process of the day.
I'm sorry, Batman. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
But yeah, no.
He gets hot.
I do get extremely hot. It's more of the story.
Yeah, you wear that latex for hours like that, man. It's gonna get to you. Christoph, we're 5 weeks from the draft. What is your most fervent hope that the Jaguars come out with after 3 days of drafting?
Miles Jack with the 5th pick. Noah Spence in one of the third round. And I have no idea who else.
It doesn't matter. At that point, kind of breaks down on us. Society breaks down. And
Kelvin Taylor in the 6th.
Kelvin Taylor, because he's a legacy,
right?
I'd be okay. I'd be okay with that.
In the 6th.
I'm not so sure about that, because that's a big legacy.
Man.
You're right. We all know. But, you know, the Taylor family can handle it, man.
Yeah.
Christoph, good to see you, buddy, or good to talk to you.
Yeah, it was good to speak to you guys, too.
All right, pal. There he goes, Christoph, getting the early bird screening of Batman v Superman. Are you a Noah Spence guy, Batman?
I do like Noah Spence. I have a feeling that I think he's going to go later in the first round, and he is going to be just a monster to deal with. And my luck, it's going to be a Titans that get him. They're going to trade up and get him, and then I'm going to be mad for about the next 8 years because I sincerely do not like the Titans.
How aggressive do you think the Jags will or should be if a guy like that, let's say they like Noah Spence, but they don't like him at 5, obviously, right? And he's fallen through the first round. Or maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's Shaq Lawson. It could be anybody, whoever they love. How aggressive would you like to see them be this year trading up? Because we know how expensive that can be to get from, you know, the early second round into the late first.
Oh, dude. This is a go-all-in year.
This is it,
right? This is for me as well as the organization. If you got to trade picks, trade them. You got to trade players. Get who you want to get. Get the pass rush, you know, get everything locked down on your defense. Maybe sprinkling a little bit of offensive players here and there, and boom, I'm ready to go. This is all or nothing. You got to go all in for
this. That's what I said, too. Like, if Spence has fallen to an area in the first round that we feel like we can jump back in, give up the second half of the draft.
Fifth, sixth,
I don't care about those picks. Give them up. Get us 4 good players out of this draft, 4 starting caliber players, and that would be fantastic.
Were you disappointed that they didn't go further in the Olivier Vernon pursuit if this is an all-in for you, or was that?
No. I didn't like Olivier Vernon, and I expressed my views on Twitter about that when they were trying to get him. And I mean, it would have been nice to have him, but I wouldn't have paid him nowhere near what they were offering.
Once you know about his preference in the cities, it makes like how much money. I mean, okay, so I offer you $100 million, but you hate being here. That, you know, I wanted Olivier Vernon. I was very upset we didn't get him, but
you know, we Maurice Jones Drew and I did our show last night on Sirius, and we were talking about him, and we used a soundbite coming out of the break. And it was him on Sirius XM NFL radio saying, oh, yeah, this contract doesn't mean anything needs to change. There's no more pressure on me. I don't need to play any differently than I have. I'm like, brother, if you go to New York and get 7.5 sacks this year, you wait and see what the reaction is going to be like. You need to be more. I mean, that should the contract dictate how you play? No, but it should be indicative of the impact that you make.
Let him knock down a tight end on a bullcrap penalty to lose a game in New York and see what happens.
There's one for you. And we'll take that. We appreciate that one. You going to stick around for a few minutes?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk about your family and your sandwiches.
All right.
They're delicious.
Did
I got
just
a box
say he was
going right
to talk
here
about your family?
I am. His family's, the Thompsons are fantastic people, man. I talk about his family all the time in a good way. What are you
saying,
thinking over there?
When I talk Cal-El about his family, he gets mad.
Yeah, well, I try to fight him.
It's all how you do it, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know.
You know, just because his parents got murdered on the streets of Gotham when he was a kid, that doesn't mean you should
don't
be picking on
that.
Him about that, see?
Don't
that was
talk
a good
about
Batman
that
voice.
All right.
I was a boy.
Coming back, Fan Feedback Spotlight today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asks you this. In the Jaguars universe, who would you cast in the lead roles other than these two guys in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice? If you want to go deeper than that, you're certainly welcome to do that, too. You can go all the way through Aquaman, which... what's the guy's name? Momoa? Is that the guy from Game of Thrones?
Jason,
right?
Momoa.
Yeah. Momoa. Is that Momoa? Momoa. I don't know if I picture Aquaman. You know, I guess I grew up on the Super Friends Aquaman too much.
They changed him a lot in the 90s. Chris, there was a writer that got a hold of him and really...
And bulked him up.
Really changed him to be
because Momoa is a beast,
guy.
Man. He is a... he is definitely...
He got his hand cut off at one point, and he had, like, a hook hand.
My 11-year-old is trying to tell me that Aquaman is, like, the strongest character in the DC universe.
How old is your child?
He's 11.
I'm going to fight your 11-year-old.
They did... Well, it's not Batman. He's not the strongest character.
They did.
I am.
No,
you're not. You, all right, outside of Batman, I should have said, clearly, the second strongest character in the DC universe.
They did do a little bit of a retcon a few years ago that made Aquaman a tougher character.
See, Aquaman, a woman at one point?
My response to my kid was, don't let the internet trick you into everything.
No, it happened.
That's just garbage. Of course, Batman also beat Superman in the comics, as I'm led to believe.
Right, which is not going to happen in the movie.
All right, there we go. Jaguars today going off the rails here on this Friday, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We'll come back, look at the fan feedback spotlight. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010 on both the phone lines and the 1010XL text line, driven by Duval Ford. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, we got some goodies for you. It's not going to be as good, I'm sure, as this box of dandy foods that I've got from my man, Bold City Batman. BCB _Batman. Duval_Doom.
Woo!
You already know that. Anybody listen to this program doesn't follow you two guys is doing it wrong.
You know what's funny is I don't get much followers off of the radio appearances anymore. They're all over me.
They're all already following you.
We're done.
You know, all 17 people who listen on a regular basis are already on your list or have blocked you.
That's a good point.
Yeah, one or the other, I think, at this point in time. Tyler, do tell. What do we got? Some breakfast goodies from the folks at Hardee's.
Oh, it sounds delicious. If I didn't get breakfast from Duval Doom, I'd be hitting up Hardee's.
Thank you, Doom.
Two free smoked sausage biscuits from Hardee's, introducing the Hillshire Farms smoked sausage biscuit, only at Hardee's. So what caller do you want to do?
That sounds delicious. Caller me. I'll take caller number three.
Microphone number three?
Yeah, I'll take Mike three. Batman's ready.
This is Mike three.
Bring him in here. Depends on how you count. One, two, three. That's I can make it work for anybody.
I'd fight both of you, but Dempsey will take me.
6-4-1-10-10. I'm even with my bad knee, I'm quicker than you.
You're definitely faster.
And that's
than me.
That's really what it comes down to me for me in a fight. Can I elude you for a long enough?
See, that's the thing with this guy. This guy will get me with his toys.
I can hide in really small spaces.
Right.
I won't
he can, and he's got all those marvelous toys as well. He's got that utility belt that's just crazy with the grappling hooks.
Let me just get a hold of him.
You got to get a hold of me first.
That's the thing. You got a big console sitting in between the two of you right now, so you can't go there.
Hold on, give me 10 minutes. I'll come right over this console.
yourself excluded, Batman. When you're talking Batman v Superman from a Jaguar perspective, would you look at it as, would you try to figure out who are the two Jaguars that fit that and they're kind of, you know, friends fighting off? Who would you see in either of those roles? Who is the Superman of Jaguar lore?
Okay, well, Superman, oh, God. I kind of like the Chris Clemens.
The Chris Clemens, Ryan O'Halloran?
Yeah. No, I take that back. Chris Clemens would be fantastic as Superman, but Ryan O'Halloran wouldn't be Batman. Never in my life.
All right, so what if Ryan is Superman then?
Okay, then I would be Batman.
You would be Batman, all right.
I think what he's trying to say is we all want to beat up Ryan.
Everybody wants a piece of O'Halloran,
yeah.
Who, by the way, he's just trying to do his job, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
okay?
I love Ryan. He's my favorite.
That sounded somewhat
so
less
sincere.
Sincere, I think, from that. We did get that suggestion. We've got Bortles as Batman, MJD as Superman, Malarkey as Lex Luthor, and Roar member Whitney as Wonder Woman. So
anytime you can cast Whitney in anything,
yes,
I'll be there.
That's our boy Stop thinking. Real Kinger 44 said Superman is Bortles, Batman is A-Rob. Is Bortles more of Superman or a Batman?
Oh, no, he's definitely Batman.
Yeah. Oh, no way. He's not serious definitely enough
Batman. That's a
Batman.
Bias. See, plus Lesney strikes me more as a Superman type, right? Mr. All-American guy,
yeah.
A little bit, you know?
Look.
He can stand on top of a mountain with the wind blowing into his cape.
Yeah, yeah. Those kind of things.
Then he can fall off the mountain.
And he happens to live in an ice kingdom up in the North Pole,
yes,
which
does.
Is nice. You know,
I can't believe anybody hasn't said this, but the Dark Knight of Jaguars fame is, it's Fred.
Fred Taylor
is Batman all day long.
Yeah.
Fred Taylor is Batman.
He's quiet. Okay.
He's unassuming, but he will take you down.
I see that.
All right.
Yeah. So that's Fred Taylor.
Here's another one. Batman, Bortles, Superman, Paz. That's from Zach Revis. Irish Jags. Well, we already did that just to tick you off. He wants J.J. Watt as Superman because they're both overhyped nonsense.
You know, he only says these things when he's on the other side of the Atlantic.
We got several, including the Ozdog 12, saying that Jones Drew is Superman. He did wear the M
and get the fine when he scored the touchdown.
That's right. So he did that. Who else do we have here? Give me positive Superman. He can do it all. And coverage, however, is his kryptonite.
Oh!
Yes.
That's pretty accurate.
Yes.
Bortles is Batman because he's crafty and sly. That's Eric Harris weighing in on that. Let me see what we got here on the Facebook page where they seem to. They go a little deeper. Chad wrote me a little paragraph. He says, Bortles should be Batman because he's human but badass. He's not a billionaire, but he's going to earn his money, and he will be a $100 million man. Superman is Allen Robinson because he has godlike athletic ability and can fly above defenders and catch TDs. Hopefully, they fight and come to a peaceful resolution because we need them both on the Jags.
Allen offense. Robinson was going to be my Superman.
Let's all hug it out, shall we? That's very nice of Chad to throw that in there. And then Genesis Lee Markham said none of them can be Batman because I'm Batman.
Who said that?
You better go find him.
I'll tweet me your address now.
I'll forward that to you. Right, that would be Genesis Lee Markham. He lives in Columbia, South Carolina.
Unfollowed.
It's probably
there's
a good thing
problem.
For him
South
that he
Carolina.
Does this morning. Okay.
Well, here, I got one for you.
Yes.
How about Gene Smith as the Penguin? He's bit off the nose of the organization anyway.
Well, there you go.
So,
all
I mean, and he sounds like a round guy. He
I
looks
thought
like one.
Gene would be, do you remember Lex Luthor's stupid nephew from the 70s movies?
Mr. Luthor.
Yeah,
Mr. Luthor.
No, John Cryer played his nephew. That was his henchman.
I was thinking of his henchman. Yeah,
Cryer
yeah.
played his nephew in the really bad, like,
is that right?
Third Superman. Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, in the third one.
Yeah, Richard Pryor one.
Oh, okay, that's right. 1987 was, like, the fourth one.
Yeah,
Superman.
Where they had the dude with the electric fingernails that cut him and turned him back.
I don't know if I even saw that.
You didn't miss anything.
I tell you what, man. With
Superman
came
movie.
Out,
of course you didn't miss
the first Superman movie was phenomenal when it came out, and now you look back at it and you're like, okay.
No, the thing about the first Superman movie is when you go to watch it now, you get through that 20-minute intro where they play all that great music and you get really fired up, and then they start the movie and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot this was made in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, it's not the best.
We can all agree that Superman Returns was the worst Superman movie, right?
Next to all of them?
Man, I don't know. I
swear I will fight you right now.
It can't be worse than the Supergirl TV series.
Oh, no. Supergirl TV series is great.
No, it's not.
Dude, Downer Jag fan likes it. I like it. You're wrong.
I haven't tried it, but I might try it for the crossover because I do watch Flash.
Yeah, it's this Monday.
So there you
I
have
tried
it.
I tried to watch it.
And it's on her show.
It's right? on her show, yes.
All right. Let's pull it back to football for the final 5 minutes while we've got it here. You were okay with them pulling back on Olivier Vernon, you as well. I mean,
I was mad at the time, but once I heard about the he didn't really want to be here over New York City, I was fine with it.
And the price, I mean, would you have just kept going? I mean, that was O'Halloran's point last week, was there was no limit to what I would spend.
I agree. If all things are equal and he doesn't have a preference of market, then absolutely I would have spent more money. I don't worry about. I mean, what are you going to do with it? You're gonna give an extra $10 million to Bortles? I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No, but
you can give it to me.
I mean, there are plenty of guys that are going to be coming up for contract extensions in the next few years. They got to sign the draft class. They want to have money available to roll over into next year. So you have, you know, you want a pool of money to be available to you every free agency.
I'm working with the idea that there would have been a limit on New York's end too. I'm not saying go forever, but I would have gone 60 or 70.
All right, so if you go 60 and they go, I mean, there reaches a point where you got to say
you bow out, and that's what he did.
He already went beyond his point. I don't have a problem with that, but as things stand right now, Batman, what do you look at as is it still pass rush the biggest need for this football team, or have they done enough to placate you with Malik Jackson and hopefully the healthy return of Cedric Marks and Dante Fowler?
You know, I think we're going to need some pieces for the defensive line, but I'm very, very much a fan of what they've done so far. And, I mean, I'm one of the guys, I have a lot of eggs in my basket when it comes to Dante Fowler. And then when they're putting Scooter on the side coming in rushing, I think that's going to be a great fit for him. I think he's going to be able to maul over. I think we're going to be very surprised by him. I think we're going to say his name a lot more than you probably have in the past, you know, year or so.
I do think that there is something to be said for the way the fan base has kind of pushed Scooter off when they said, hey, we're going to put Scooter as a rusher too, and we all went, whatever. I do agree. He showed some traits when he played for San Fran that he could rush the passer, and so I think that there's some of that there. I'm with you, Chase, though. I'm totally Dante Fowler. Dante's got to be good, man.
I still think you need to get one. I'm not saying go out and take the number 5 pick and get a pass rusher.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
I mean, maybe second round, you definitely got to get a pass rusher. But I'm a firm believer that what we got right now is going to be good. And I don't think anybody you're drafting, unless you get Bosa, is going to be able to come in, plug, and start.
What about if we trade up for Spence?
I'm going to be in love with everything.
Miles Jack and Spence both in the first round. Woo, Johnny's happy.
And then I'm going to go home. I'm not going to make it to
your eyes just rolled back in your head a little bit when you thought about that.
Yeah,
are you Jack above all? If you have your choice of anybody in this draft, who are your top three guys in order?
Oh, God. Jack is my number one. And then you go Ramsey. And then you go Bosa. I mean, even I kind of have a feeling he's going to be a flop, but just a scary looking guy. And I think we need scary.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that they love him. I know Mike DiRocco was on XL Primetime the other day. He said he's pretty convinced that they do like him a lot. I've heard something that would make me think they're a little tentative just because they're not convinced he's explosive enough for that fifth pick. They want you got to be something that separates from the rest of the pack. I think Miles Jack, you see some of the scouting reports on him. People think he's going to be one of the best linebackers in the league within a couple of years. You look at Jalen Ramsey in terms of a package of athletic ability that you don't see come around very often with his size playing the position he plays. Bosa is lauded more for effort and, you know, hard work, strength, and things which are great qualities to have, but is that explosive element there? You the same way, Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, your wish list?
I'm really close on Ramsey and Jack, though.
What do you play? You'd have to play Ramsey as a corner, though, right?
Yeah, but
I'm not saying you can't, but, I mean, that seems to be the knock that is, you know, Tony Pauline told us a few weeks ago. He thinks if you look at the film, he really struggles when he has to turn his back, which you're going to have to do as a cornerback and run with receivers, whereas when he can see the whole field and play moving forward as a free safety, that's when he really excels.
I heard Tony say that, but I've also read people, you know, comparing him to Deion with regards to athleticism, and you don't pass on prime time, man.
He's a sick athlete. There's no question about that.
I mean, that's tough for me. So I'm really close on them. I'm close enough that if we get either one of them, I'll be ecstatic. I'm fine with Miles Jack. I'm fine with Jalen Ramsey. I would take Noah Spence before I would take Bosa.
All right. I don't need to tell all the Jaguar Twitter people to follow you guys on Twitter, but I will anyway. BCB_Batman, Duval_Doom. When are you going to go see the flick this weekend?
I'm going to see it tonight.
Tonight. Yes. Doom, you're going to see it in an hour?
I may go see it in an hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends what the crowd's like.
I'm going to text my dad. I'm like, I'm going with Doom.
You make that.
The sandwiches, old man.
That's right. You stick these in your pocket. You could bring some sandwiches right in.
You just text that, hey, we got to go over some business stuff with Chase.
Business meeting with Chase.
I mean, with Batman.
Right.
I'm not Chase.
Don't know. That's your alter ego.
But, yeah, you know, just say, hey, Jeff, we got some things going up here. He's got to make a sub. He's the only one in the Tri-County area that knows how to make this sub. We need him here for at least 2.5-3 hours.
Percentage of people that call you Chase compared to Batman on
a
daily
basis. I don't
think
anybody in Jacksonville besides Doom and like 8 other people knows my real name.
Know what your identity is.
And they're like, hey, I walk into a store. Hey, Batman. I'm like, sup? I don't remember you. Again, man. Yeah,
but what did I do to make you remember me?
Let's be honest. You don't remember a lot.
I remember some of the games.
Some of them.
I remember some of them.
That's good. The wins.
I got a sloppy kiss from him after we beat the Browns 2 years ago. It was scary.
Best kiss of your life.
I really wish we had more time to get into that. We're all out of time today on Jaguars Today. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. They bring you the show every Friday. So for the absent Fat Tony, he'll be back with us on Monday. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. For Duval Doom and Bold City Batman, both in the house, I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up here for Jaguars Today. Stick around. The boys of XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.